down past I-55. If you're heading down I-10, go past I-55, get to New Orleans. Is where Jeff Carrere is, host of Ringside Politics. Jeff, good morning. Welcome. How are you, man?
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. We got so many different things to talk about, but I got to start with the accident from yesterday, because that is a little bit closer to y'all than it is to us. I mean, by, you know, a matter of minutes, but closer to y'all than it is to us. What were the takeaways from this from yesterday? Are we looking at, you know, has blame been pinned on one person for the cause? Is it just a matter of thank God it wasn't worse?
I mean, my gosh, it was terrible, Brian. I mean, worst I've ever heard of. I mean, it made national news. And, you know, as someone that for 20 years drove the causeway every day, I mean, for the causeway, you know, we would have fog conditions so often, but you'd have these convoys. And, you know, it's a shame these people just were, you know, there to, in these conditions, I guess were something they weren't aware of. So they got into it and couldn't see. And then you just had this massive chain reaction like there. Unfortunately, there was no, I guess, convoy to lead them across. I mean, it was just so, I mean, you couldn't see. And right. I've been in those conditions before on the causeway, and you know, I was always thankful that there was, you know, a convoy or some kind of police officer to lead us through. I don't know if that was possible, you know, in those in that situation, to have police officers lead some kind of convoy and or even shut down that section of the interstate, because I mean, you could barely see at all. I mean, they called it super fog.
Yeah.
The conditions. So, you know, I think they're going to have to really investigate. You know, this whole thing, and it's just tragic. I mean, I've never heard anything anywhere near that bad, Brian.
Mm-mm, no, I'm close to 150, more than 150 cars, 7 deaths. You had to have a hazmat truck offloaded off the bridge. I mean, it was ridiculous. And Jeff, you bring up the convoys over the causeway. See, I grew up on the North Shore, so I remember that vividly. But you had the toll booths, so you could kind of corral everybody. It was more of a controlled environment. You could corral everybody, and then you have a causeway cop leading the way, lights going and running like a pace car, you know, at about 15, 20 miles an hour, which sounds ridiculous to go a 24 mile an hour causeway at 20 miles an hour, but it saved lives. I don't know if on 55 or on the twin span over Slidell, I don't know if you can do that, because there's no point to corral everybody. There's no toll booth.
Right.
You know, it's, and by the way,
yeah, causeway, I know. It might not be possible, but it just sort of came to mind thinking, I mean, how many accidents there would have been without that sort of, you know, safety feature for the causeway. And, you know, they did close the causeway for a while as well yesterday because of this situation.
Which only increased the number of cars that were going to be on 55.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And it was just, I mean, those folks had nowhere to go. It was just a horror show, and you know, they just kept saying, they kept hearing things explode, and just imagine being part of that. I mean, unbelievable. So I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some ways that safety can be improved going forward, because I mean, we're going to have those kind of conditions again.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's something that is likely to happen again.
Almost certainly. Almost certainly. We got Jeff Carrere with us. Okay, we were not able to speak last week, so I didn't get your takeaways on the election. Were you surprised that Jeff Landry won it outright in the primary?
You know, we talked about it, Brian. It was always a possibility. And you know how things go in elections, so you get momentum toward the end. And
yeah.
I think people were moving in that direction. I think a lot of people that would have voted for some of the other candidates decided to get behind Landry because the other candidates didn't have a chance. And he just was building momentum, and we knew it was a possibility, and then he did get across. Just the fact that he had so much of an advantage as far as endorsements and money. The Democrat candidate was so weak, and also you had Democrat turnout that was non-existent. Wow. I mean, here in New Orleans, I mean, it went away big time. And Landry did better among African-American voters in New Orleans than we had seen in previous elections. So he had a lot to be excited about from the result. And I know that Republicans are feeling really strong right now because of the result. They feel very good about the runoff.
We're talking with Jeff Carrera for a couple more minutes. Yeah, the runoff coming up. I can't envision a scenario where we don't just see Republicans run the table. It just, with the Liz Merle was, I'm actually surprised with Landry winning outright. I'm surprised Liz did not win outright. And then I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to Nancy Landry yet or not, but she's strong. And then John Fleming's a name. So, like, it'll be shocking if they don't, if Republicans don't run the table.
I did interview Gwen Collins Greenup and I've interviewed some of the other candidates and I hope to interview Nancy Landry hopefully later on this week. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Republicans have huge advantage. Mm-hmm. Democrats are demoralized. Democrats are trying to figure out, you know, where they go from here. And I think Democrats need to go back to the formula that has worked in the past for Democrats. I mean, you put forward a conservative Democrat. Mm-hmm. Who is pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, someone from maybe Acadiana, someone like a John Breaux, something like that, who is considered to be not far left. I mean, being far left does not work in Louisiana. Sean Wilson was pretty far to the left and some of these other candidates. I mean, I've interviewed Dustin Granger a number of times. He's out there, Brian. He's out there.
I'm looking forward to having him on the show at some point.
He's going to talk a lot about trickle down economics. That's one of his favorite talking points.
Fantastic! I can't wait. You mentioned black voter turnout for Landry. I have found this to be intriguing from the start, and looking ahead to what a Landry cabinet and a Landry administration might look like. I have a feeling, and I've got nothing to base this off of, but gut feeling. The Landry administration is not going to be the face that we're thinking it's going to be, is it?
No, I mean, I think you heard his remarks the night of the election. He was talking about unity. He was talking about how he was humbled and, you know, really feels like he's representing all of Louisiana. I mean, I think he is going to make an effort to try to have a broad-based type of administration and not be just representing conservative Republicans. So, yeah I mean, I think there'll be some people in his administration that some folks might be surprised about.
Which is, very surprised about for a lot of folks, because as Republicans, we're constantly vilified as being, racist, xenophobic, whatever. The Landry administration, as this thing plays out in real time, as Republicans, we could turn back around and say, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes type of thing? You know, and with having an extra month to put things together, what's coming from Jeff Landry, I have nothing but positivity right now.
I think, you've looked in some of the Republican administrations in the past and they really have reached out to include African-Americans. You can go back all the way to the first Republican, Dave Treen, who did that.
Yep.
But I think Landry will really surprise us with the type of people he's going to put together. I think it's going to be, hit the ground running. I mean, he feels like he's got so much to do. So many people are invested in him. Louisiana's got a lot of ground to catch up.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what's going on in Arkansas and some of these other states that are really moving forward. So, the good thing is winning early gives them the extra time to plan. And now, the legislative leaders are going to be people that he can work with closely. So the Republican Party is going to have no excuses, Brian.
No.
They're going to have total power. So, in the past, they've had the power. They haven't delivered. This time, they've got to deliver.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have all the statewide positions, and then a supermajority in the House and the Senate. Have you gotten any more word yet about what's going to be going on in the speaker's race? Not in Washington. I mean, ours.
Right. Just some potentials. I mean, of course, the Senate thing is all cleared up now with Cameron Henry.
Yeah.
And we knew that because he sort of had that in the bag. I mean, I keep hearing, that it's wide open right now, different people looking at it. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes forward. But I know that you want someone that's going to work closely with the Senate president and the administration. I mean, you want to have a fine-tuned machine there. So I'm got some sources out there going to give me some more input about where things stand. I mean, there are a few, obviously, they're focused now on a few of these legislative runoffs that are going on.
Now, moving back, when I talk about Speaker, yeah, the runoffs that we're going to have, turnout is going to be so abysmal. I have no way of predicting anything. Because as bad as it was in the primary, not having any of the top, you don't have a governor's race anymore. You've got three statewide positions that are, pretty much understood are going to go Republican. And just turnout is going to be so terrible. I don't know how to predict where we go from here.
I think, you look at the primary, it was 36%. I mean, I think we're looking at a potential of a 20% turnout. I mean, I think it's just going to be abysmal.
I take the under, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, could very well be. You're right. I mean, it's a few days before Thanksgiving. And as you say, ball games and no real big races drawing a lot of the attention. So, yeah, it is going to be very, very bad. And that's what Republicans need to worry about. It is going to be so bad that they're not going to get their people to the polls. So that is going to be the challenge for all the candidates to identify their voters and get them to the polls. So, yeah, it is going to be shockingly low.
Last one before I get you out of here. Jeff Carrera is our guest. Last one before I get you out of here. In our remaining 30 seconds or so, are we going to have a Speaker of the House up at our nation's capital today?
Yes, I think my prediction is we are going to have one today. Yes, I think from what I could tell, they had a good meeting last night, and there's confidence that someone will emerge. And we're down to eight, and another Louisiana guy's in the mix.
Yep,
Congressman Johnson.
Yep, Congressman Johnson from Louisiana's 4th is in the mix right now. We'll see how it plays out, though. He is Jeff Carrera. You got a show to do, man. I appreciate you hopping on board.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.